Well, I'd say it's pretty cold out here. 75 below zero. What? The FBI says the mass shooting at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas? We have no idea. Anyone surprised? A black, gay television star gets attacked. The greatest spiritual happening on Earth. Oh, it's not what you think. I think the Democrats should adopt that new commercial. Free, 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 free. And today's Bible, the paradox of freedom. Hello, world. Wind chill 40 degrees below zero here, so you understand. How you doing on this, a cold Wednesday? News, information, comment, Bible, all the good stuff over the next 25 minutes. Call a friend, tell them we're on the air. News right after this. Well, let's check the calendar here. It's only about a month away. Share-a-thon 2019 at WHCB 91.5 in the great Tri-City area of Tennessee. And we still have some openings for speaking while we're there. We're going to be at My Faith Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Randy English there on Veterans Way in Johnson City. That's going to be on the Sunday night after the Share-a-thon. In the morning, we'll be at Elizabethan Free Will Baptist Church, Pastor Nathan Jennings there at 706 First Street. That's in Elizabethan, Tennessee. It would be great to see some of you then. Appreciate your contacts via Facebook and email and even telephone calls. So that's it so far. Hey, want to get together? Email helloworldradio@gmail.com. Love to preach the Word of God. Got some great things to talk about the world today in these churches, and you need to join us, my friend. That's March the 3rd. Yeah, in the morning, Elizabethan, Tennessee there at the First Free Will Baptist Church. In the evening, My Faith Free Will Baptist Church in Johnson City. I mean, we've never experienced anything like this, huh? I'm telling you, the dogs were in and out in a matter of seconds. That's why it is cold in the Midwest. What's it like where you live? Officials warned of almost instant frostbite as temperatures in the region plunged below zero Wednesday. Many state offices are closed, postal workers not delivering mail in 10 different states. Thousands of flights have been canceled, along with dozens of train services, most of them coming out of Chicago. 212 million people. 72% of the continental U.S. population are going to see temperatures drop below freezing over the next few days, and more than 83 million Americans, 25% of the U.S. population, will suffer sub-zero temperatures at some point between now and Monday. We're there today. Records here in Fort Wayne, with at least 5 deaths linked to the extreme conditions this week. Authorities urging people, you bundle up, stay inside unless you absolutely have to go outside, and check up on the elderly and the vulnerable in what experts are describing as the coldest air in over a generation. While most of the Midwest here will see frigid temperatures, Chicago will be the epicenter of the extreme cold. 27 below zero. Actual temperature, 27 below zero. In some parts of the Midwest here, feels like minus 75. Are you kidding me? They say it's going to be a hate crime. Empire television program, the Empire star Jussie Smollett, recovering from an attack that allegedly went down just as he landed in Chicago, included the use of a chemical substance poured over his head. The 35-year-old actor had traveled from New York on Monday night as Empire is filmed in Chicago. And this guy has a residence there. But yeah, hangman's noose and all kinds of slurs and, oh my, it's the new America. You know, I think sometimes we labor under the illusion that they always get it right, especially on big crimes. But how can the biggest mass murder in our country's history just go unsolved? More than a year after the Bureau began digging into the slaughter of 58 people in Las Vegas and the wounding of scores of other people at a country concert there in Las Vegas, the FBI said yesterday it hadn't concluded anything more about Stephen Paddock's mysterious motive for that attack than it had the day after the shooting stopped. Isn't that something? So, what did they say? The FBI's conclusions on that mass murder, which Panic undertook from a sniper's perch in the Mandalay Resort in Concito in October of 2017, were unveiled. The attack at the Route 91 Harvest Festival was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Most of what the FBI concluded has long been known. Panic acted alone, so they say, when he planned and carried out the attack. Aaron Roos, the special agent in charge, said the 64-year-old fatally shot himself as police arrived. The reason for Panic's rampage? The FBI says nearly 16 months of real study and analysis by the agents and behavioral specialists could not uncover anything. Well, George Conway, that's the husband of White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway, and a frequent critic of the president, blasted him yesterday, saying his stupidity knows no bounds after Trump ripped into a former aide, Cliff Sims, for his new tell-all book. The conservative lawyer has frequently used Twitter to post one-liners calling out the president. He quote, tweeted a Washington Post opinion story with the headline, Trump is a fraud with agreement. Conway's criticism attracts increased attention, particularly on social media, due to his wife's role as a senior advisor and a very close confidant of President Trump. Trump took to Twitter early Tuesday to criticize Sims' new book called Team of Vipers, the latest to come from former White House staffers depicting the chaos and the infighting inside the Trump administration. Read on. On the other side of the fence, despite criticism by some Democrats of the Medicare for Everyone plan embraced by 2020 presidential hopeful Senator Kamala Harris, Democratic Committee Chairman Tom Perez insists everything's united with the Democrats. Sure it is. Perez said there is no philosophical debate among Democrats that universal health care is necessary. However, he conceded there is no consensus on how we're going to achieve that goal. The Democratic primary will have a debate about how do we get from 90% coverage to 100% coverage. There are some who advocate a Medicare for all. There are some who will advocate for a market-based approach to all of this. Perez's comments came one day after Senator Harris, she's a Democrat from California, turned heads at a town hall meeting saying, Medicare for all. That would not only eliminate the private health care insurance industry, but also hospital waiting times. Wow. It would also bankrupt America. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, a lifelong Democrat who is seriously considering running for president as an independent, called the proposal unrealistic and un-American. Well, okay. More news right after this. Good reading today, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, first 9 verses there. Included as a life-changing prayer in this portion of Scripture was written by Paul in his letter to the believers at Colossae. What makes this prayer powerful is that every request here is in agreement with the will of God. The first petition was for the Colossians to know the Lord's desires. In order to please our Father, you got to comprehend what his plans are and carry them out. That would include his general purposes for all of us, such as loving God and loving our neighbors, Luke 10, as well as a specific plan for each of us. Paul's second request was for God to give spiritual wisdom and understanding regarding such knowledge. He knew that to apply what we learned, we need insight and clarity, which only comes from the Holy Spirit of God, John 16:13. We could also make this request for those who do not trust the Savior. Our Father offers salvation to all who believe in Christ. It's not his desire for any to perish, according to 2 Peter 3:9. If unbelievers know God's will, their minds will be open to his offer of forgiveness, and they will accept the sacrifice Jesus made on their behalf. That's something to think about. A life-changing prayer indeed. So much spirituality out there. What does that mean? How about the greatest spiritual event on earth? See, Christians listening now say, okay, where is it and how many were saved? And bar some very cool sunglasses, Baba Rajarati is completely stark naked, smeared only in some ash, symbolizing his commitment to the Hindu deity Shiva. This man is living what is described as a mendicant life of austerity in pursuit of self-realization. What in the world does that mean? At least that's what he tells everyone in between puffs of ganja. I don't even know what that is. People are participating in a 55-day long festival running until March the 4th. And by the end, an anticipated 150 million salvation-seeking Hindus will have attended the greatest spiritual gathering on earth. There you go. Occurring four times within a 12-year cycle, its dates determined by astrology and ancient Vedic scripture. My, oh my, do you know this stuff goes on? I am so isolated in so many areas. Salvation-seeking Hindus. Well, hey, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, will have salvation. You're seeking salvation? Hindus seeking salvation? Go to Jesus. He's not an answer. He's the answer. A young mom, devastated when she came to know that her toddler son had been brutally abused by his babysitter's boyfriend. The only option she had was to prepare to bury her son and consider the painful decision of donating her little angel's organs. On that fateful day, 2013, baby Lucas Clark was rushed to a hospital for an emergency rescue, but the doctors informed that his condition was beyond any medical help. His shattered mom, Heather Clark, then picked herself up with all her courage and made the bold decision to donate her seven-month-old baby's organs, which now have saved three lives. Baby Lucas passed away almost 6 years ago, but his presence is still felt in Jordan Drake's life, the little girl who got a heart in the transplant. In January 2016, his mom met 4-year-old Jordan and her family at the Phoenix Children's Hospital, where she heard her dead son's heartbeat in this little energetic girl's body. Wow, that's some kind of story. She said it was just magical and sad at the same time. A happy, sad day indeed. The family of a woman who went missing from a bar 3 weeks ago, a month after giving birth to twins, has released a new photo in hopes of tracking down the mother of four with many different looks. Savannah Spurlock, 22 years old, last seen leaving a bar in Kentucky with two men in the early hours of January the 4th. Police have since traced two individuals down who have not been charged, but not dropped from inquiries either. Police have released various pictures on January the 8th of the woman, images of the last moment she was seen, but the family has been trying to unearth more recent pictures. She appears to change her appearance on a regular basis. Mother of four, missing. In health news, a common parasite spread by cats that is carried by 2 billion people may lead to schizophrenia, according to researchers. That's their new fear. Toxoplasma gondii, which can spread to people through contact with cat litter trays and eating uncooked meat, is usually harmless. But now the largest study of its kind has found having the parasite could raise the risk of developing schizophrenia by some 50%. Unusual links between this disease and mind-altering behaviors such as risk-taking, depression, and car crashes already exist, they say. Word has it, scientists at Copenhagen University analyzed data from more than 80,000 people in the Danish blood donor study, of which 2,591 had registered psychiatric conditions. The researchers, led by a doctor there, scoured traces of antibodies for the presence of this T. gondii. Billions of people worldwide, nearly a third of the population, according to the University of Chicago, are believed to have been infected by the parasite, including 60 million in the United States, 350,000 a year in the UK. The parasite was detected in the blood of a quarter of the population studied by the team there in Copenhagen. Now that's very interesting. Something to check out. Well, it's the big one this weekend. Super Bowl, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, Tom Brady looked nothing like an NFL quarterback at the league's pre-draft combine back in the year 2000. His legs were the size of toothpicks, and his college resume consisted of being a bench warmer who struggled to keep the starting job once he won it. "You wouldn't recognize this guy," says Gil Brandt, the longtime NFL personal guru. "He was really chicken-chested." Well, that's some way to describe him. Brady was drafted by the New England Patriots in the sixth round. He bulked up, made a remarkable transformation from forgettable prospect to generational star, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. A brief history of his career since includes ranking near the top of nearly every all-time passing stat, winning more playoff games than any quarterback in league history, and taking home just 5 Super Bowls. As he seeks his 6th title with the Patriots this Sunday in the Super Bowl, his presence represents another incredible revolution. This is important. The same quarterback who took the league by storm as a young kid at 24 years of age has now mastered playing as an elite quarterback at 41 years of age, known as the old man by NFL standards. If the Patriots defeat the LA Rams, Brady would become the oldest starting quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. Freedom. Real freedom. Right after this. A quick reminder, we come your way each day at this time, my friend, Monday through Friday. Our thanks to this Christian radio station for carrying the broadcast, and a big thanks to you for listening and telling others about the program. I also want to encourage you to pray for this Christian radio station and support it any way you can. Just like the coming Share-a-thon here at the end of February at WHCB, they need you, your support, your prayers, your finances, any way that you can contribute to continue to send the Christian message out over 91.5 FM. Yep, Christian radio stations, boy, they are great, and we need to let them know how much we care. You know, there is a real paradox in freedom, if you think about it. If we're not at liberty to do anything we please, then what does freedom in Christ really mean? I think that's a question I had when I was first saved. A lot of talk about freedom, but I'm saying, wait a minute, a lot of things restrictive here as I read the Word of God. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? Well, those words are familiar to every American, and they express a sentiment echoed in many other national anthems. Did you know that? Canadians sing, God keep our land glorious, and there it is, free. The Greek hymn to liberty declares, from the graves of our slain shall thy valor prevail as we greet thee again. Hail, liberty, hail. The Swedes address their nation as, thou ancient, thou free, thou mountainous north. Kenyans sing, may we dwell in unity, peace, and liberty. You know, the desire for freedom is common to people everywhere, whether they are pursuing it or trying to preserve it. However, the word also means different things to different people, and it can take various forms, of course. You know, if you go to Google and type in freedom from, or freedom of, or freedom to, it'll bring up some interesting complete suggestions and a glimpse of what some common searches might be. For example, there is freedom from religion, fear, control, addiction, and want. Freedom to operate and read and glide and assemble and choose. And freedom of speech, religion, press, and the seas. But underlying these many facets of the word are two questions that deserve our consideration today. Why do we want freedom so badly? Do we want to be free of something, or do we want to be free to do something? Isaiah 61 there, the first 11 verses will be very good for you to read today. When the prophet Isaiah and later Jesus there in Luke 4:18 and 19 spoke of the favorable year of the Lord, it was in reference to the year of Jubilee described in Leviticus 25. Now during this period, all debts were to be erased. Doesn't that sound good? All slaves released, and land returned to its original owners. The year of Jubilee can be seen as a metaphor for God's salvation, can it not? The greatest freedom we can experience is the forgiveness of our sins, liberation from those strongholds that Satan and his demons used to have held us captive, and the restoration of our relationship with our Maker and His creation. The Word of God holds many promises of freedom for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. For example, hey, we have freedom in Jesus Christ. according to John 8:36, Romans 8:2, among others. We have freedom from sin, Acts 10:43, and Romans 6:6-7, and from fear, Romans 8:15, and Philippians 4:6-7. But with freedom, you know this is true, comes responsibility. Getting a driver's license is so exciting because it means the freedom to drive. I can do it. But you still have to follow the rules, don't you? Living in a land that has declared independence from other countries means that you're free. But even the freest nations has laws its citizens must obey. For that matter, a person who defies all authority and attempts to live as he or she pleases is still subject to the laws of what? Gravity? Nature? Similarly, freedom in Christ does not absolve us of responsibilities and accountabilities. Oh, this is good. The Apostle Paul and Peter both warned us that one salvation does not serve as a license for us to sin, Galatians 5:13. When the Holy Spirit indwells a person, love is to be the driving force rather than the selfish desire to be independent. Our freedom must instead compel us to serve one another and to glorify God, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. Another important consideration here is why the Lord gives us liberty anyway. When we read about how he delivered his people from illness, demonic oppression, even societal change, the emphasis is again and again here on what he saved them from. His purpose was to restore lives and to break the chains keeping them under the domination of sin. You never hear Jesus saying, okay, now go and kind of do whatever you want. Oh, no. Rather, he instructed them to leave their life of sin. Read 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul recognized that we have the free will to choose what to do, what to say, what to think, what to buy, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear at any given time. However, he also understood using that right to satisfy our old flesh nature is going to pull us right back into slavery. That Jesus Christ rescued us from, effectively forfeiting the freedom Jesus paid with his precious blood. What does freedom mean to you? Do you yearn to be liberated from persecution and oppression? Or are you tempted by a longing to kind of have carte blanche to live as you want? You ought to pray and ask God to reveal how you need to change your understanding of freedom. Name some of the strongholds from which God has helped break you free. What other areas might you still be trapped in? Draw encouragement from the victories you've experienced, my friend, and bring to your Lord the sins and attitudes that you find difficult to stop. Read Psalm 91. I love it. Read it several times this week. Memorize verses 14, 15, and 16. As they come to mind, make a point of thanking God for specific ways he's set you free. If you don't have the desire to do a thing, you're not really free to do it, are you? And if you have the desire to do something but no ability to do it, you're not free to do it. And if you have the desire and the ability to do something but have no opportunity to do it, you're not free to do it. And if you have the desire to do something and have the ability to do it and the opportunity to do it, but it destroys you in the end, you're not free. You're not free indeed. How does this relate to the freedom you have in your relationship today with Jesus Christ? Just as the freest nation has laws that must be obeyed, freedom in Jesus Christ does not absolve us of our responsibility. Be free indeed. And sometimes that bragging will get to you. Three veterans were together talking about their ancestors. My grandfather at age 13 was a drummer boy at Shiloh. Mine, said another, was with Custer at the Battle of Little Bighorn. The third said, I'm the only soldier in my family, but my grandfather, if he was living today, he'd be the most famous man in the world. What'd he do? Oh, he didn't do anything, but he'd be 165 years old. Yep, that ought to do it. I'm Greg Patton. This has been Hello World. Thank you for joining us each day at this time, Monday through Friday. God bless you, and thank you for being a part of the program and for praying for it and supporting it as well. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Have a great day. Keep warm.